Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Joe, you're wearing a little puffer jacket.
Hi, yeah, I'm wearing this little puffer jacket because the weather in St. Louis, I'm fighting off a cold, has been crazy. And it's going to be 70 on Thursday. Jeez. In St. Louis, which it's December.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's insane. Well, Colorado, there's no snow. I mean, like, I think you have to download off the lift on the bottom because you can't even fucking ski to the bottom of the hill. It's just, it's like, there's no fucking snow. I don't know what's happening.
Where are you right now, though? Wherever you are you in the desert?
I'm in LA now. But this marine layer came in and it got all gloomy.
But where am I looking? Over your shoulder, it looks looks like Justin Baldoni's house.
Yeah, it is. We moved in together to be masculine.
Oh, that's so dark. Is that your house?
Should we cut that out? What if Baldoni listens to us? Does that mean?
Let's just start over. This whole thing sucks.
What? No, it does not.
It just does.
All right, fine. Ready? Oh, hey, Joe. Yeah. Good to see you again.
Hey, I'm glad that I'm getting sloppy thirds here since you've done two podcasts with your sister today, and now here I am, the one that you enjoy way more but pays you no money.
This is true. You got all of those points correct. I just did two in a row, and now I'm here with you, and I'm happy. I'm happy.
Well, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
I'm about to make you sick. Just put your hand up to your mouth so you can catch the vomit coming out of your mouth. Okay, ready?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm doing a game in New Orleans tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday. The game's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to Cabo.
Why?
I'm going to that Pros and Joes golf tournament. I've got the weekend off. I've had this as the distant carrot that I've been chasing for months now, with all my travel during the World Series and the baseball playoffs and all these Thursday, Sunday football games. I have the weekend off. It matches up with a golf tournament in Cabo, and I'm headed down there. I'm playing golf with John Rahm on Monday. How disappointed will John Rahm be in my golf game?
So you did invite me, and now you got John Rahm.
No, Rahm's, I'm not playing with Rahm. Rahm's playing with Michael Phelps, of all people.
Okay.
But we're going to play a practice round together on Monday, and then I'm playing with a guy named Maxim Blandin, B-L-A-N-D-I-N. I
know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah. He played on many tours, and I don't know if he played on the PGA Tour. I don't know him that well, but he's going to be sleeping in your bed down in Cabo starting Saturday night.
Wait a minute. So the pro has to sleep at your house? Like, this guy
No, he doesn't have to, but I'm not gonna make him stay elsewhere. It's just me down there.
I'm all in, man. You don't know who this Maxim guy is. Like, you could wake up in the middle of the night and weird things could be happening.
That happened to me in college. So my roommate in college, who I didn't know, I go to Indiana University. I'm rooming with a guy. This was before, obviously, any opportunity to match up with somebody that you know. I go to IU. I know nobody. I'm on a campus of 48,000 people. And my roommate, his name is and next to his bed, he had a little hot plate where he would warm ramen noodles, like, you know, cook ramen noodles and whatever. He had like a little kitchenette that he set up on his desk. But one night I wake up, the guy was a sleepwalker, and he's carrying the knife from his little kitchenette over by my side of the room by my bed. And I wake up because I sense there's somebody standing over me, and it's not like he's got the psycho Norman Bates. It's not up like he's going to stab me, but he's got this utensil in his hand, And he's walking around like out of it, sleepwalking. And we all know from the movie Step Brothers, you don't wake up a sleepwalker, because then you do. Maybe you do have a murder on your hands. So I gently took the knife out of his hand and steered him back over to his bed.
Oh my God. That's a scary thing to wake up to when you're in college and don't know your roommate.
I didn't know him. Didn't really know him. And I lived with a guy, and now I'm going to live with Maxim Blandine.
So how do you know that Blandine doesn't sleepwalk and might?
I don't. There's nothing. I don't know anything about him. I know he's a fine-looking little French-speaking dude that is evidently a really great golfer, and I'm just going to watch him play. Because the other night I walked into our garage with the lights out, and I fell down the stairs and I sprained my ankle.
No.
Yeah. And on my way to the ground in our garage, I saw the golf tournament flashing before my eyes.
Did you really have that moment of like, gee.
There's zero doubt. I was like, I was falling like, oh shit, I'm not going to be able to play. And I hit the ground and it hurt. As we all know, garage floors are rather sturdy and painful if you hit them. And I got up and I kind of staggered back into the house. I'm like, Michelle, I fell. She's like, yeah, okay, you fell. And I said, I think I heard cracking in my ankle, which is my bad ankle anyway. Mm-hmm. And then it just ballooned up. Little did I know, I was so worried about the ankle because of the golf tournament. I didn't really care about any other piece of this. Mm-hmm. I sat on the couch and Blake jumped onto my other leg. And my other leg has this huge gash all the way up my shin. I split it open. And Blake is jumps on me. I'm like, ah! Just as a reaction, I didn't know I was even hurt. And he hits this thing. I'm like, oh my God. And then I got in trouble with Michelle because I reacted to the pain and I made Blake cry because he thought he cut me once I lifted my pant leg. Then I was the asshole.
So when is the actual tournament?
It's practice round Monday and then Tuesday, half day Wednesday. That's it. But I've got the weekend off, so I'm going to go down there and just relax for 5 days. Well, but aren't you going on a fishing trip anyway?
Yes, I was about to say that. You invited me. And it coincided with a fishing trip. So I'm leaving on the 8th to go out to sea for 6 days, catch big tuna, hopefully. But I do wish I was in warm-ass Cabo San Lucas with John Rahm, showing him what I got, you know?
That's a part of it that I think is probably killing you the most is that I just said John Rahm playing with John Rahm on Monday.
Yeah,
you'd be playing with John Rahm on Monday with me.
Yeah, dude.
But now I'm playing with Maxim Blandine, the sleepwalker.
Well, hopefully you don't become too good of friends. And next thing I know, you've got a podcast with him called Blandine Issues.
Don't worry about that. We're gonna crawl before we even walk, let alone run. So
good.
This is a getting to know you, but I don't know that this would happen. Like when we first had our wives get together, mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say, because I didn't know Erin at all, mm-hmm. I maybe had met her and been around her a couple times, but then it was like, hey, I'm going down with my friend Joe and his wife Michelle's going to be down in Cabo. Would you, and you're invited too, Erin? And I think she was like, yeah, I don't know who this woman is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of give myself an out in case I don't like hanging around this girl. And then thank God they hit it off. And
oh my God,
been great ever
tremendously.
Since.
They're like two peas in a pod, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I just finished my job. I'm done with The Cleaning Lady. Airs January 3rd on Fox. And they've been showing the preview a bunch now. That's been on football. It's been, you know, so hopefully as we get into playoffs, you'll be announcing it. I think you will be because I think they're pushing it pretty good.
Well, good. And I will turn the promo, which is whatever it says on the card. I'm mm-hmm. handed cards during the course of the game. And that's how I read my promos,
right.
Which we got made fun of on SNL, which was great.
Oh, you did?
The other day. Yeah, it was awesome. The guy who does the new Trump impression
did
me.
No.
And was pretty darn good. And it was basically a rip on the promos that we have to read for ridiculous shows. So when I'm handed the card for the cleaning lady, that will turn into nothing but a promotion for Oliver Hudson. That, I don't care who else is in it. I don't care what the card says. I'm going to say the name of the show. Yeah. I'm going to tell people when and what day they can find it. But the rest of it is going to be about Oliver Hudson.
That's amazing. I cannot wait. But more importantly, wait a minute. Were you just spoofed recently on SNL?
Yeah, like maybe a month ago.
Oh, God, I didn't even know
5 weeks ago.
That's like an honor.
Oh, my God. And you know, the only thing that I looked at when the guy was impersonating me.
Your hairline. Was,
yeah. Did the guy like have a horrible hairline to impersonate me?
How did he do it?
And the answer is no.
No.
He did great. Okay. He was normal hair, wearing a suit, and it was Aikman, me, and Aaron Andrews that they were ripping on. And it was me. It was Troy continually trying to, like, interject questions about the show and, like, almost politically incorrect ones. And I'm like, let's not speculate, Troy. Let's not guess here, Troy.
Yeah.
And kind of going back to the action and the game.
Yeah.
And it's good. They did a good job. And I mean, what an honor.
Oh, God. Well, when we get off, send me the clip if you can find it. I want to see that.
I'll send it to you. I'll send it to ye.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues. So, yeah, done with the show. We had our last day in Vegas. And we were in downtown Vegas, which I haven't been in downtown Vegas. I don't know, like it at the Golden Nugget. We were staying at the Plaza. Oh. You know, it's like the Plaza. And we walked this sort of strip. It's like the Fremont, you know, walkway or something. It was fucking crazy, man. I haven't been to Vegas in a while, and it just...
But that is a different Vegas than the one that we typically go
Vegas.
To.
I mean, you're looking at the strip way in the distance. You're like, oh, all right. That's the Vegas that I know. And this is a whole different world. But we had a good time, you know.
It's a little grittier, a little downer, a little dirtier.
Oh, dirtier, for sure.
Just different.
Oh, way dirtier. It was fun, but the casino was old school, meaning everyone's smoking cigarettes. I mean, you walk in and you start wheezing, even if you're a non-smoker. But I liked it. It was kind of this old school vibe, you know, fun. But ending it in Vegas, driving home, and that's it, dude. That's it. Now we wait.
Well, what was it? So they actually went to Vegas to film whatever
scenes. Yeah, because the show takes place in Vegas, although we shot it in Albuquerque. But there are scenes that we need to tie in Vegas to our location of Albuquerque to make it seem seamless. And we put off a lot of those scenes until the end. So we were shooting episodes from number 2 to 9 to 6 and picking up little pieces in Vegas.
That's got to be odd to have an episode unfolding as you're acting in it, put a pin in a certain scene, and then pick it up at the end of your time and go back to where you were and try to get back into that headspace. Because if this is like some crime thing or whatever it is, I assume it is, it's the story is developing and now you have to go back to where you were maybe more in the dark about what's going on. And
And then you have to sort of remember where you were and what has happened, you know, up to that point. I had nothing really to do. I mean, I came into Vegas for sitting in my car, pulling up a camera, taking pictures of some suspects, and putting my camera down, and that's it.
That was it. That got you a free trip to Vegas.
That's all I had to do.
They could have used the guy that does the AT&T commercials or whoever it is that kind of looks like you if it was like from a distance.
Yeah. Well, no, they needed
a check for that guy.
They needed a close-up, you know, of me doing this and it's the surprise of, oh, my God, I caught them and, you know, the weird face they had to do and all that. Although we didn't even need to shoot it in Vegas. You know, the background was just blurred out for the most part, you know. But I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm happy. Holidays are coming up. Now comes the wait period. Now comes January 3rd. Now comes the premiere of the thing. And then the constant weekly stress over the ratings and the numbers and all that bullshit.
Man. I mean, I wonder, because it's Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this as a guy who's been at that network since 1994, so I'm in no way, I don't know, dismissing Fox in primetime, but I would imagine their standards for what is a success and what is a failure are different than you've experienced in the past, be it at CBS or ABC.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just the landscape of television in general. The rating system is just archaic. I think they're transitioning a little bit, but for the most part, people are watching it in record. They've recorded the show, or they're watching in other shows. I mean, there's so much content. There's so many platforms out there right now that network television is definitely taking a major dive. What constitutes a successful show now would be a complete failure 10 years ago. Like a fucking bomb 10 years
ago. Let alone in the 80s when it was all network TV.
That's from a whole different
ballgame. The Cosby Show to what Friends was, Seinfeld. You know, I know it started slow, but it became massive.
Yeah.
And then it's like night and day. It's a completely different business, and what's considered a success is in just a fraction of what those other shows were getting.
Yeah.
So
there
you go. The bar's low. You can get your ass over that bar.
We're trying. I mean, I think we have a shot. It feels good. It feels like a show that people will sort of get into. And
are you in a character? On. Are you a character that would then come back if the show returns?
Yes.
So you don't die in this?
No.
Do you come close?
No.
Does anybody shoot at you?
No. Guns are drawn, but there's been nothing fired. You know, no bullets fired.
Not yet. Nobody's shot at you. And in the wake of everything that's gone on with Alec Baldwin, I would imagine that whole end of the business will change going forward forever.
I mean, look, there are freak accidents. This was there was a lot of negligence involved with this, and people will pay. There's no doubt about it. It doesn't happen often. You know what I mean? That's why it's such big news. You don't hear of this because people are extremely safe in our business. And I've carried a gun on my hip the entire show. I played an FBI agent, and we went through all gun safety protocols, and it was extremely extensive. You know, I knew what was in that gun every time that I held it. You know, they pulled the slide back, shine a light down the barrel, nothing in there. You know, you look in the chamber, nothing in the chamber, pulls out the clip, looks at the clip, and I see for myself that there's nothing in the gun. Before it even gets to me, the first AD is looking at it, the prop master is looking at it, the armory is looking at it, the armorer is looking at it. So I know what it's like to go through those protocols, and for whatever reason, it just some bad shit happened, man. But I think it will change the landscape of gunplay in the industry. I think
it definitely. And probably a good thing. Probably a good thing if it's unnecessary, I would imagine, to what's going on. But are you a gun owner? Like, do you have a gun?
I have rifles and shotguns, but I'm getting a Glock 19, actually.
And leaving it where?
It'll be in my house, home protection. You know, there's a safe I've got that is all fingerprinted, and you can't get in unless it's me. And I think it's pointless to have a handgun for self-protection, home protection, if you've got it hidden away up in a closet and you've got the clip on the other side of the room. And by the time you assemble your gun, your entire family is duct taped up, and that's the end of it.
Right. Right. So there's a fine line, and I would imagine there are a lot of people listening to this that it's like, okay, I've got kids in the house. Mm-hmm. You have to make it as safe as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And so now how do you go about that to where it's still accessible to you in times of emergency?
A few things, you know. I mean, number one is you've got the safe. that you have accessible to you. So then boom, you thumbprint it or you fingerprint it and it opens up and then boom, you have your weapon. No one can get in it, meaning the fingerprint won't work. And the other thing is I trust my kids and they know about guns. They've shot rifles before. And there is no world where they would ever go in and try to crack it or even take a gun out. You know, they know about guns. They know about gun safety. Wilder actually took his hunter safety program, didn't get his card, but we went through it. So, you know, you learn about guns, you know what they are. And I also, again, if my kids went in and took my gun, I can't, I'm speechless right now, even talking about it. I can't even imagine them doing something like that. So
when I was a kid, my grandfather, who, the one that played in the NFL, enlisted in the Navy during World War II and was on the USS North Carolina and was, you know, involved in that whole Pacific theater and was a Navy man through and through. And so he was the guy that kind of really raised me as much as my dad did, because my dad was traveling as much as he was traveling for his job. So my grandfather had a friend downtown in St. Louis, and I used to ride everywhere with my grandfather, and he went to see his friend downtown. And we walk in. I remember this clear as day. I don't remember anything 2 years before or 2 years after this, but I was maybe six, seven. I don't know how old I was, six, seven, or eight, not any older than that. And we walk into his friend's house, and his friend opens his safe, and there's a gun in there that he had taken off somebody that was dead in World War II. Mm-hmm. And so this friend of my grandfather's hands me the gun, and I'm whatever I am, eight. And I turn to my grandfather with the gun, and I go, bang, but I don't pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. But I make the noise with my mouth, bang. Mm-hmm. My grandfather freaks out, grabs the gun, and says, Joe, don't ever, ever point a gun at anyone, at anything you don't expect to shoot. Mm-hmm. Don't ever point a gun at anybody. And his friend says, oh, Joe. That was my grandfather's name, and that's who it was named after. Oh, Joe, don't worry about it. That thing hasn't been loaded since the 40s. Mm-hmm. He goes, see, I'll show you. He takes the gun, points it out the window, pulls the trigger, and it fires a bullet.
Oh my God.
It goes out of this guy's window, across the street in downtown St. Louis, and through the window across the street. And I still shudder at the memory of it, because had I been an idiot kid or just unaware and just friggin' pulled the trigger as I pointed it at my grandfather's face, I'd be in therapy the rest of my life. Yeah. I would have.
Oh, that's.
I mean, that's the end of me.
Yeah, yeah.
As a little kid, the guy that killed his grandfather when he was eight in a gun mishap.
Yeah.
I mean, so many things.
No, I know. I think that's why.
Think of what that could have been.
Education. I mean, I grew up in Colorado. I grew up with a stepdad who would hunt, and I learned to hunt at a very early age, and I was shooting rifles and shotguns at a very early age, and I learned about gun safety and all of that, and I've passed that on to my boys, and so, you know, there's nothing taboo about it anymore. I mean, I'm sure it's cool to look at a gun, but they don't really give a shit. And they understand how to operate a gun, and they understand, you know, what not to do. And that being said, there's just no world where they could even go into the gun safe, or even would try, you know?
Right.
But part of me is like, do I need a fucking gun for home protection? But it's always good, man. I don't know. You just never fucking know.
You don't need it until you need it.
You don't need it until you need it.
And so I have one. Yeah, I have one, and I'm gun shooting a couple times. I still don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like it being in the house. I don't like loading it. Mm-hmm. I feel awkward.
Yeah.
Putting bullets in the clip and then putting that in. And I've gone through the gun safety class. I went through one with Michelle out in Denver with a friend of hers who teaches that. and actually shot well. I surprised myself because my vision's not that good. I wasn't wearing my glasses. I was wearing like protective glasses and actually shot well, but I don't enjoy it. I don't mm-hmm. like the sound. I don't like, it is louder than hell mm-hmm. when you go to those shooting ranges, and it's startling. It's mm-hmm. very unnerving for mm-hmm. me. And I'm sure there are people that just get off on firing weapons. And I have friends sure. that are like, oh my God, I've got a Thompson submachine gun yeah. from the 30s. And I'm like, God, get that shit away from yeah. me. I don't want anything to do with any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Except you don't need it till you need it. So I have one in my house, but I hope to never really use it.
Of course. And then you keep up and you have to make sure you know how to use it if, God forbid, something happens. But you're not an enthusiast that's out, you know, shooting every weekend and getting off on that, which there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's fun, dude. Like, I've shot, you know, rifles and clay pigeons and shotguns and stuff like that, and it's been a blast. Not really into handguns. That's why I have to, you know, learn about handguns a little bit more. But I don't see myself heading to the range every other day just to shoot the weapon, but it's a just in case thing.
I bought mine during the pandemic, mm-hmm. and I can't speak for LA, although I'm sure if it's true here, it was true there. It was hard to get guns.
Well,
like people out of fear or whatever, just like, I remember that gun I've always talked about getting. I'm getting it, and then yeah. you couldn't get bullets, and then you couldn't get. So I have it. It's in my closet. I tried to do the hand print thing.
Mm-hmm.
The safe actually showed up locked, and so I couldn't open it. I'm like, I gave it to the guy that was redoing the house. I'm like, look, I'm the first to tell you, I am so not handy with anything. I am a moron.
Yeah,
but please tell me you can get this open. He's like, no, just throw it away. Order another one. I'm like, how does this thing come locked?
That's insane.
You can't open it any other way.
That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, anyway, the whole thing is tragic, what happened on that set. And you know, lessons will be learned, but it's just devastating. Crazy.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg
That's you. Right. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
So years ago, when I used to talk to your sister more than I do now, which mm-hmm. is never, she used to make fun of me, and she said, you are one of the most sensitive men, like not in a good way,
mm-hmm.
sensitive people I've ever come across in my life. And when I was going through my therapy session this past Tuesday with Heather, my therapist, she came all the way back around and said, you know what it is? We were trying to put a word on what I was describing. She's like, you're just really sensitive. And so now I'm sensitive to being sensitive. Do you think you fall into the category of sensitive? I know I do. I admit.
Oh yeah. I'm very sensitive. I'm extremely sensitive, I think. In so many different ways. Oh God. First of all, as far as emotion goes, I'm sensitive. I feel like I'm just sensitive to people's energy. This is the reason that I have anxiety. I mean, not currently, but I can go through bouts of it. I have a sensitivity. There's just no doubt about it, but I embrace it. You know, sometimes it hurts because it can serve me poorly, but most of the time I like feeling sensitive. I like being in tune or constantly evaluating and thinking and feeling, and you know, I don't know. I like it. I'd rather be that than not, I'll tell you that, than just a fucking wall.
Yeah, no, and that's how I am. I am constantly reading everybody's face,
yes,
inside a room. So if I go into a party, or if I'm just standing around a bar, and maybe I'm looking for the person that's going to come up to me, and I have a little PTSD of people screaming shit at me in stadiums, we have determined.
Mm-hmm.
There's some scarring there of mm-hmm. fuck you and all that stuff we've talked about. it's a little PTSD for me, so I'm a little flinchy anyway. But if I'm even amongst friends, and family is the worst, because I am evaluating the look on my daughter Natalie's face. I'm evaluating the look on my daughter Trudy's face. The boys, Michelle, I'm always, and I would say I'm probably batting 750 if I'm puffing myself up a little bit, but I'm certainly not batting 1,000. So there are many times where I am assigning somebody a mood that they're not feeling.
Yeah.
And then I'm reacting to what I'm concocting in my mind of how that person's feeling toward me, and it's just off. And that's the part that drives me crazy.
Oh my God, dude. I'm the exact same way. I mean, I'm constantly reading people. It's not even something I'm consciously doing. It's just a part of me. You know what I mean? Just feeling them out. And especially with Erin, because I know her moods extremely well. You know, I know her faces, and I know every piece of her and how she acts and what might be wrong. And it just happened with what you're talking about, where I struck out, where, you know, she had her water bottle and it was the morning and she just felt pissy to me, you know, and I didn't know why. And she slammed her water bottle down, but I couldn't really see it because the pillow was hiding the actual slamming of the water bottle. You know, one of those Yeti things. And I immediately sort of snapped. I'm like, what's your fucking problem? You're always pissed off. You're throwing shit around the room and banging shit. And, you know, I like had a snap moment. And she's like, whoa, what the fuck is wrong with you? She's like, my water bottle, it literally slipped out of her hand when she went to go put it down normally. It just slipped. Ka-kling. I totally lost it, misread everything. Even prior to that, she goes, I'm fine. I'm not angry. I'm just thoughtful and packing up the room because we're leaving for the weekend, you know?
Right. I did the same thing. So and I think I do it, first of all, there's a level of embarrassment on your part when that happens.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
like, oh, yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
Remember everything I just said about how awful you are right. and you're always in a bad mood? Sorry.
My bad.
Because obviously you weren't. But the other part of it is, like, the other night when I, you know, sprained my ankle and I come in and Michelle's mom just got here. So I'm sitting on the couch next to her mom. We've got these twin monsters running around at 3.5 years old. And I've got my foot up on a pillow on the couch with ice on my ankle. Mm-hmm. And she's now just back in town, brought her mom in from Denver. And she's doing the nighttime routine by herself. And she's getting frustrated and she's harumphing a little bit because the boys were acting up and they're not really listening and they're hard to wrangle together and they're not going to their room and they're not getting their pajamas on and whatever. And so as she's harumphing, I take that as if she's mad at me.
Dude,
because
oh
I just
God.
Turned my ankle. And I take that like...
You're like, what do you want me to do?
I know she's disappointed. Yeah, like... She's harumphing and right. but just to herself. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I twisted my ankle and I'm bleeding out of my right leg.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to help. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like I take it all like it's directed at me.
Oh
and I don't
God.
Allow her the opportunity
yeah.
to just be frustrated.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me.
Yep. I'm the same fucking way. Same way. Like,
is that narcissism? What is that?
No, it's the same thing, dude. It happens all the time where it's not about me. You know what it is? It's guilt. It's guilt.
It's guilt.
It's because we just get guilty that we're not, you're not putting the kids to bed and you see her harumphing around. Is that a word? I'm just repeating you. Harumphing?
It's from the movie Blazing Saddles.
Okay. So you're she's harumphing around. And
Mel Brooks is like, huh? He's the mayor and they're all gathering around him. He's like, I didn't get it. They're all like, harumph, 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 harumph. He's like, I didn't get a harumph out of him.
Oh, right.
He's like, harumph, harumph, harumph. Right. All right, go ahead.
And, you know, but we take it as that they're harumphing because we're not helping. And we feel guilty, so then we lash out because we're guilty. And that's it. And then they're like, this is nothing to do with you. I'm just frustrated because I'm frustrated.
But now you're in a fight. Now you're
sure.
in a fight. You know, and that, when you do that, and so then she comes back down after putting him to sleep, And my guilt got my fat ass off the couch, and I cleaned up the room, and I undid the dishwasher, and I put all their toys away and did all that stuff. And she comes down, and she's like, those dishes aren't clean. I said, yeah, they are, because while you were out of town today, I turned the dishwasher on. I know they're clean. No, they're not, because I put some dirty stuff in there earlier today. I'm like, oh, great. So now there's dirty stuff mixed into the clean stuff that I now just put away while you were upstairs because I felt guilty, and now I'm – she's like, what? What is this, like some veiled guilt trip you're giving me? Because, you know, I what are you doing? And so now we're in even a worse fight.
Yeah.
And eventually we came around, but – sometimes when you miss like that, and I think it's for the right reasons, maybe it's not, but sometimes when you miss like that, it just sucks.
Oh, God.
I don't know. You're in a fake fight. There's no substance to it. You're fighting because you're fighting. There's nothing there.
Right. Another pet peeve of mine, this happened last night with Erin, is she'll ask me to do something. And last night was, there's a big thing of laundry at the bottom of the stairs, like, you know, bring it up. Now I was in my room, and I had just driven 4 hours from Vegas, and, you know, I finished work and I was just chilling, you know, and she's just like, will you bring it up? I said, you know, yeah, you know, not this second, but, you know, I'm gonna get it. And there was nothing pressing about this big thing of laundry coming up. Next thing I know, she goes out and she's harumphing the fucking thing of laundry and like, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm gonna fucking get it. I'm gonna get it. You don't have to go do that now. And you're making me feel guilty. I look like an asshole. Now I feel bad. And I'm like, what? Why do you? I just go, I got it. Whatever. I'm like, that's not the point. Now I feel stupid. Now I feel it happens all the time. When she asks me to do something, if I don't do it like immediately, and then she just does it, I'm like, fuck. Just give me a second. I will do it. I promise.
Ugh. Right. No, I know. I mean, we're obviously reading from the same book here.
I think a lot of how
to fuck up a marriage night at a time.
I bet a lot of listeners are probably like, oh my God, of course. I mean, I don't think this is a you and me problem, you know?
No. I think it's probably the source of a lot of fights. And here's the thing. When you go to a therapist, and I love my therapist dearly, she's like, you need to learn a different language to untangle that. And I'm like, okay. And then it's like, the whole act of what I hear you saying is, you know, like that kind of thing. Here's how I feel. Now, what I hear you saying, you know, so it is so beyond my capabilities of just calling time out on myself and going, you know, what I'm doing here is incorrect. And what I'm hearing you say to me is out of frustration, mm-hmm. and I'm apologizing to it. I wish I was that good. I wish I could do like the critical thinking and a different love language. And it's just, I'm not good.
You can, and I can. I just think that there's therapy speak and then there's reality. So when I see my therapist and it's like, well, instead of, you know, saying, you know, hey, like, I can't believe you did this or whatever. No, you say, well, you know, when you did this, it made me feel unwanted and it made me feel that I wasn't desirable, you know, and I'm like, I get that. Sounds great. That's therapy speak. And that's not really my reality. I don't talk like that. That's not who I am. I get it. And I think you're correct. But it's not easy for me to just sort of take a step back and be like, well, I'm sorry I made you feel this way, and I didn't really mean to, and my intention was this. And it's not easy to do that. That's after you fight, and after you're both irrational, and then you're hugging and you're making up, and then it's like, I'm sorry I was a dick, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. And it's the makeup,
right?
That's where the therapy
in it
speak.
I'm way too hot, and I heard somebody described it to me one time or gave a way to kind of get around it. And it, again, it sounds great in theory. I've never done it. I think this, I have a better chance of, because there are a lot of times where I will go down that path and I can hear, I know I'm wrong and I can't not do it. I can't shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like badgering her and whatever. So I'm aware of it. Just go hold hands, hold her hand. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to fight when you're holding somebody's hand.
Right, right.
And that makes more sense to me
yeah.
than, you know, what I'm hearing you say. And right. here's how I was made to feel. And here's a... I don't know. I'm not even representing that correctly because no. that's I wish I was better at it, but I'm just
well. Not. We try, dude. I mean, look, the idea, or just that you are even in therapy is great. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I think Michelle's happy. I think she's a happy wife. I think she's got a happy life.
Is of course she is. There is no such thing as perfection. That's ridiculous. Relationships are always work. We're always trying to figure out the best way to communicate. Even though I've been together with Aaron for 21 years, you're still learning how to communicate. That's the point.
But do you find yourself sometimes being childish or comical with her times when you should be more adult and more not even romantic, mm-hmm. but I think adult's the right word where I'll just go fucking mm-hmm. silly, stupid.
Yeah.
And eventually she's like, will you just shut up?
Oh yeah.
Stop.
Yes.
Can you talk to me like an adult? It's yeah. It's probably like a little mommy syndrome right. or something that I have going on with.
Yeah, well, humor is always a great way out of things. There's no doubt about it if you can find that icebreaker, you know. But
yeah, my daughter and Michelle confronted me with that. They're like, every time you turn it into a joke, every time.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I kind of do.
You're like, guess what, girls? Like, it works.
It works. You know what? I saw you smile. Right. I know you want to punch me right now, Trudy, but yeah. I saw you smile.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is we're existing and we're relating and being in relationships with different moods each day and each hour. So things will shift and change. There's moments where you're feeling good and positive and you might be able to be affectionate and be vulnerable. And then there's moments where you're fucking cranky and irritable and you don't want to fucking hear anything and you snap and you're not able to, you know, have actual communication. That is part of what it is. There is no consistency in relationships. Never. Right.
Unless it was boring.
Exactly, and that's fucking boring. You're right. You know, I mean,
yeah, like, hi, honey. How was work today, dear? It was good.
Good.
I'm just gonna watch TV.
Right, same shit.
What time's Dateline on?
Dateline. No, I know.
I mean, Dateline's a good show.
It is a good show.
Don't sleep on Dateline.
I love Dateline, but.
Some of the voiceover in Dateline, I mean, it's not just Keith Morrison too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's every one of them.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not going down this path again of people's matters of speech. But sometimes I'm blown away by stuff that gets on network television.
Yeah.
The poor English that's used is amazing to me. And there it is. There's the word amazing. It should be amazing to me that can get through so many different script writers. And so everybody's like, that's it. That's what we're going with. Stupid.
You said amazing.
I know. I'm just guilty of all the stuff I rail against.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Here's the last thing I'll say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then three podcasts for you in one day is too much.
I know, but do we still got to do Juggernaut with Josh.
Yeah, well, I think I know where that's going to go.
Well, you go ahead. What's up?
So, you know my friend Harry Freeman,
yeah.
who... I love dearly, play a lot of golf with him. Big, strong, strapping guy, 3 or 4 years older than me. So he's mid-50s, rides Peloton every day, has never had a vegetable in his life, mm-hmm. never eaten a salad, never had fruit. Mm-hmm. Okay. This guy is ripped.
Yeah.
Not ripped, but he's just naturally strong. I played golf with him a week ago and I'm like, what are you doing? You look good. You look different. You look leaner. So he's doing the intermittent fasting.
Right.
But, you know, and also doing it with just a shit ton of water.
Yeah.
So he gave me these packets that you do and it's been night and day. I'm like, I feel so bad. And I think I've said it on this podcast, and I've told you this definitely offline, mm-hmm. but I wake up like I feel like I've been in a car accident every mm-hmm. day. Like my mm-hmm. joints ache, my neck hurts. I broke my neck in high school. I've had back surgery. My shoulders have been dislocated. I'm just a mess, mm-hmm. and I don't even feel like working out. It's just it's too hard to get over the hump. So now 1 week of drinking like 120 ounces of water a day,
mm-hmm.
and I wake up completely different. No. I feel better. I feel younger. I feel it's so good, and it's and it's almost like your body craves more. You would think you'd get sick of drinking water, and your body would be like, ugh, enough. Now I'm still thirsty, and it makes me keep drinking the water. So yeah, what do you say to that?
No, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because I am so dehydrated all the time. And when I am in my water drinking phases, it just changes the game. And I need to do that. I need to intermittent fast. I need to start feeling good again because I've just, this whole Albuquerque experience has wrecked me. Smoking cigarettes, drinking a ton of liquor, you know, and just eating poorly. I have to get my detox on. And
why are you smoking cigarettes?
I don't know. It's Pavlovian. You know, I get to a set and I just start and I'm alone and I'm bored. And I learned my lines with cigarettes. It's just, it's habitual. It's all the bullshit, you know. But I quit for a million years and I started back up again. So, you know.
Someday they're going to find out that cigarettes are bad for you.
Or good for you.
That's my prediction.
You know, but I haven't had a cigarette today.
They're going to say cigarettes are not good.
I don't know.
But you're to that point now where you're like getting the shakes because you haven't had one today?
No. No, I'm just trying not to smoke, you know. But wait, are you intermittent fasting or just drinking a ton of water?
Well, I don't, now I'm not, I try to eat nothing later than 8
mm-hmm.
p.m. And then I don't eat anything again until afternoon.
Yeah,
and
so
I
that's
just fill
that's
my
it.
Gut with, now I don't know, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I still do my Athletic Greens, so that's probably
not...
Oh,
that's fine.
Okay, well, that's what I have in the morning, and then I just slam 4 or 5 of these Nalgene water bottles that I fill up all day, and it's been
just
a difference maker.
Just straight water, right? You don't put anything in it?
No, I don't put anything in it.
Dude, this is good. You're sort of inspiring me. I got to do this. I got to start drinking more water. I got to get something.
My hair's growing in. I mean, it's,
maybe that's
it's
why it's growing so
life.
Well.
Maybe. And here's the other thing. My new hair that has been implanted by our mm-hmm. previous guest
mm-hmm.
Is growing in dark.
I know.
It's growing in dark.
No, I see that.
And that's not like been altered. It's dark. It's like the great.
Wow.
Surprise.
This is cool. This is very
maybe
cool.
Maybe knock me out and put like ass hair up there.
just as a joke, like a few of his ass hairs.
Whatever. I don't care what. Yeah. Whatever. I'll take it. I don't care. And having it come in darker, which gives me a little bit more coverage up top, I mean, I couldn't be a happier guy.
Well, I asked him about pubic hair when he was on, if he could put pubic hair in my head, and he said yes. Wait, hold on, real quick. How much water are you drinking? And I need to get one of these things that measures it out. You know what I mean? So you feel like you're accomplishing.
Just, go to Amazon.
Right.
Go to Nalgene
mm-hmm.
water bottles. This is a water bottle that goes up to 32 ounces. Mm-hmm. It's got a small mouth part, so you mm-hmm. don't feel like you're gulping huge mm-hmm. things of water. I've had one of those too. I like this better because it's just a normal
mm-hmm.
A normal opening, and you know, you just go through the morning, and I try to get it done by 1 or 2, so I'm not peeing all night. That's the other problem. Like mm-hmm. There are games that I've done now over the last week that I'm really disposed during breaks. I'm running to the bathroom.
Oh, but, really?
But by the end of the night, like last night, I slept through the night, which is, that's also different for me.
Yeah.
Like I'm finding that water
yeah.
is a kind of a cure-all for me at the moment. I'm sure that'll change, but I'm sleeping better. I feel better. Yeah. It's got to get rid of inflammation. It has to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just flushing your body constantly.
Yeah, I got to do this. I fucking got to do this. I'm going to start. Even if I'm not intermittent fasting quite yet. Because I go on my fishing trip next Wednesday, which is just out on the ocean. You know what I mean? Like, there's no fasting out there. So.
What do you eat for breakfast out there?
Dude, the food is amazing. That's part of the draw of the trip. They cook in these little galleys, you know, and it looks like nothing, but they put out some amazing food, you know, just all you can eat, incredible stuff.
So
incredible,
do you know
dinners,
the people
lunches.
You're going to see with?
I know, well, I'm going with a friend, and then I know Jason, one of the owners of the boat is going to be on this trip. No, I mean, I'll know 4 or 5 people. I know the crew.
What if you hate, what if there's somebody there that's just like, annoys the shit out of you and you're stuck for 6 days. And the guy's like, Oliver, hey, Oliver. Just constantly the whole time.
You just avoid them. That's never happened where it's been that annoying. You know what I mean? Ever. People.
Oh, my God.
You mean who? Like,
you're the guy from the show, yeah. The Rules of Engagement. I love that show. What was it like when you were with David Spade that one time?
I feel like you're jinxing me because I feel like that's going to happen now. That has not happened before. There's people who recognize me where it's like, yeah, hey, cool, no. And everyone's cool. But no one annoying, crazy annoying like that. Never.
Do you like the fish? I like that. It's my first time fishing. Can you help me put bait on my hook? I'm not really good at it. I don't like touching fish.
If that ever happened, I'd say something, honestly. I'd be like, hey, we're on this boat for 6 days. Thank you. And I appreciate, you know, that you like the show. But you got to chill. This is my time to get away.
Oliver, tell me about the cleaning lady. Are you the cleaning lady?
I saw that preview.
Who did it?
It's for fun.
Why weren't
right?
you in the preview?
No. But I'm going to start drinking
is
water.
Is it co-ed? Is it co-ed?
Yeah, yes. There's, you know, it's mostly men, but yeah, there's sometimes there's women. Oh, I've been going on these trips for 20 years now, and I haven't been on a crazy female trip, but I've heard stories. There are some stories about women who have been on these trips for reasons. You know, there's one passenger in particular who pays full freight, does not fish, and does not get paid to do anything illicit, but just is there for a good time with whoever wants to have a good time.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure how she looks or, you know, if it's, I don't know, but it's.
They're all God's people. Everybody's beautiful in their own way.
This is true, Joe. Sorry I even thought
you can't,
that.
You can't trivialize and you know, grade somebody's looks. That doesn't matter.
No, I mean, you didn't do that with Michelle, so.
No. No, it was just I connected with her, and then the icing on the cake was that she, you know, was a pretty
mm-hmm.
person by yeah. some people's standards. Now, I mean, I don't look at people that way, but.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're beauty.
You know, you do, so.
Beauty blind. That's what you are.
It's beauty is from within.
It is. It is from within.
It emanates outward.
It does.
And her beauty knows no end because it just constantly comes out, except when we fight about my sprained
right.
ankle.
Then she turns really ugly.
Oh, God. She gets so mean. And she likes to think she's tough. And she'll listen to this. And she likes to, you know, like.
Yeah.
Get in my face.
Yeah.
But she doesn't scare me.
Does she get in your face like you little motherfucker?
Not like that, but I feel like there are times where we fight like brother and sister, and mm-hmm. I feel like I'm her brother Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like it's you know.
Yeah.
I have to stand my ground.
Yeah.
Otherwise she'll in a non you know, physical way.
Of course.
But I have to verbally stand yeah. my ground.
Yeah.
Because she will come at me hard. And I've got to be ready. I've
yeah.
got to be unfrozen caveman lawyer ready. Ready.
Oh, yeah. She can get after it, dude. I've seen it.
Yeah.
seen it.
I need my A game. I need everything I need on a Sunday football game. Yeah. I've got to be ready to react.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She'll cut you. She will cut you.
Verbally.
Yeah, or maybe with so like an ox where we spit out a razor blade. She keeps one in her cheek at all times.
Is that so?
It's called an ox.
There's something I didn't know about her.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good.
All right. Well, let's finish this up with Juggernaut with Josh.
Honk, honk. Honk, honk.
Josh, come on.
Yes.
How are you, buddy?
Doing all right.
The question this week is, have you ejaculated?
All right. Well, I feel like there is some progress here because I can...
It seems like a yes or no kind of a...
Well, yes, I can sometimes, but only on my own and not reliably.
All right.
Juggernaut
with Josh. No whammies.
But I have a question. But I have a question about this. Yeah. If you know there's a good chance that if you initiate sex and you know it's not going to happen for it's going to end. Right. If you think it's going to end in disappointment, do you bother trying or do you just kind of lay off?
It's a good question. Are you 100% sure that you're going to be rejected? 100%.
No, yeah, I'm never 100% sure.
But you're 99%.
Wait, you're worried about it being rejected?
No,
or you're worrying
no.
about not being able to finish?
Worried about not being able to perform.
Oh, you still try.
You try. You know the phrase, use it or lose it?
Mm-hmm.
The more you use it, the more you will get back into the flow, so to speak.
Right.
Got it.
But
it's my non-clinical.
But can you even can you even like get a boner?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, here, but now it's now everything's all messed up because now I don't feel well a lot and I'm tired at the end of the day and it just
oh
is
my
like,
god.
I love how you guys are talking about this with no women's input on this, Josh. You should absolutely still try. Because she wants you to feel like she wants to feel like you still want her, even if you can't, if it's not, you know, there's other things you can do. So that's all about you.
This is true. Okay. But as far as your boner goes, like, I feel like about 2 to 3 minutes in, it just deflates on you.
Yeah. It starts good.
Yeah.
And then it slowly deteriorates.
Right. Oh, man. Can we bring your wife on at some point?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that this is becoming like a fan favorite stuff. So, you know, I think we need to talk to your wife to really get some inside scoop.
Yeah, if we do a live event, there's going to be a chant in the crowd like, Josh.
Right,
Josh,
and then the curtain opens Josh. And you're doing like a live sex show, like in Amsterdam.
Oh, my God. By the way, can I also just say I hate the word ejaculate? It is like my least favorite word ever.
Well, but it's clinical and the FCC won't ding us, so we got to use that.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, this seems like the other word you don't like is moist, and I feel like that would fit in this conversation as well.
I don't have any problem with moist.
Moist ejaculation.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, keep trying, Josh. And I'm glad you can achieve, you know, self-achieve.
It works. I mean, it works.
Yeah. It's just, what does that say? Does your wife get disappointed? Like, well, Jesus, what's wrong with me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're okay with yourself, obviously, but there's something wrong with me.
Yeah. Maybe don't tell her that you can get there on your
own. Yeah, but here's the thing. It's because I have so much control over the time and everything, like, you know, cause by the time she's home from
and the pressure,
she's home and then the pressure and then the physical activity of it all, like all that stuff plays a role.
Only you know where you like to be touched, Josh.
Right.
Remember.
All right. Control. I didn't even get into that. I'm just saying timing wise, like timing during the day, it's usually, you know, like I have to be very careful about the time that I choose and, you know, and it doesn't always work on my own.
I think you need to get out of your head. I think you need to just, you know,
Yeah.
Slam four fucking Bartles and James and just go to work.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, like, when you're alone,
get your hard hat on.
You can control, you know, you can control the time and the clip that you're watching. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, you.
Oh, my God.
Well, the other thing is there's pills that can, you know, make your boner stand up for 4 hours.
Right. Right.
Right. So you don't have the whole timing thing. That's out of the window.
That's true.
You know what we're doing? Well, here's what we're doing, Josh. This has become a real segment. Next time, I want you to get a pill and see what happens and then report back.
All right. I don't know.
You'll be fine.
I don't like medication like that. I don't know. I just got to try. I just got to get out of my head. I like that advice better.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Do like a beta blocker. Yeah. Something to get the anxiety out of that.
He's nervous, like dry mouth.
That was Juggernaut with Josh.
Juggernaut with Josh. Thank you, Josh. All right, Joseph.
Here's the other thing I'd do, and then we'll let you go.
Yeah.
Get the parrot out of the room.
Yeah.
How did you know she's in here?
No. When you're having
making
sex.
Love. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's probably a good idea.
Ka-ka!
He watches.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He watches.
No. She. No. This is getting weird. I don't want to go down this road. It's too weird.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Stay hard. Stay hard. Stay hard. Come back here. Come back here.
And now you're really not going to be able to get there because that's all that you're going to be.
Now that's going to be in my head.
Right.
Or the parrot just learns to whistle.
It's not you, it's me. Okay. It's not you, it's me.
Right. Or it's just like.
Just like a... Wow, that's disappointing. Wow, that's disappointing.
The whistling.
What happened to it? Where'd it
go?
What happened?
Where'd it go?
Don't stop.
Josh, do you feel more stressed out since you're not like, is this making you in life more stressed out? I'm just curious.
No, not entirely. I mean, it didn't become as big of a deal until we had a segment every week focused on it.
what are you saying?
So I'm saying knowing I'm going to have this question every week.
Okay, we're going to take a week off from asking you the question. Yeah. You have a 2-week window.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 2 weeks. Get something done.
Get something done.
I feel like this is like Squid Games or something. Like,
it's intense.
It's Squirt Games, Josh.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
I love you guys.
Love you. Good luck out on the open sea. Hopefully I'll talk to you before then.
Yeah, well, call me.
But if I don't, you know, throw the line in there good.
Oh, hey, thanks.
Get to trolling.
You nerd. All right.
Don't bring your gun.
No, stay at home. All right.
Bye.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.